When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
Losers.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million.
Rubli.
Hello everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor, Titans v Rebels. As you can probably tell, I am not Shannon Gus. Mike Bloom here. My voice continues, I suppose, from appearing on a four-hour recap of last week's set of episodes to bring you exit interviews with the boots of this week's set of episodes. Shannon, unfortunately, was traveling at the usual time that she does exit interviews this week, and so she asked me to fill in, and look, I will take any and all opportunity I can get to talk to this wild cast of this wild season, and stop me if you've heard this before. It was a big, chaotic week of Australian Survivor Titans v Rebels, and so you know there's going to be some stars to talk to, and I got to talk with two of them. So, you're going to be hearing first from the first member of the jury, the mayor of Ponderosa for this season, Eileen. Really excited to talk with her, obviously. Big fan of the game. Went through a roller coaster of a season, from riding high to playing this double agent to then having to claw her way, being one twist and challenge win from potentially getting booted there to then ultimately becoming the victim of Kirby wanting to remove a wedge between herself and Ferris. And then I end up talking with the most recent boot, Valeria, the third member of the jury, a very big character in her own right, certainly somebody that, by the time the swap happened, seemed to have everything going her way. She had the V's. She had Mark. It all comes crashing down when Viola's voted out. She tries this deep-seated plot for revenge. which ends up being ultimately unsuccessful. One of the most open speakers at Tribal Council of the season, which both helped and hurt her game. But what ultimately hurt her game was the ultimate vote twist, where everybody bought the best acting job Australian Survivor has ever seen, and Raymond single-handedly sent her out of the game. Unfortunately, we were not able to speak with Jaden this week. Jaden was out of the country himself at the time that the usual exit interview is being recorded, so he actually wasn't able to do any exit press this week. But the good news is that we can see his smiling face, as well as all of these jury members, every single episode for the rest of the season, as the endgame of Australian Survivor, believe it or not, has truly begun. And make sure you do not miss a second of the wonderful coverage of this wonderful season. Shannon will be back in the next podcast you'll hear on this feed, which is a recap with the one, the only, Kelly Wentworth. Really excited to hear what Wentworth has to say in particular about not only the season, but Australian Survivor overall. Of course, the anti-penultimate edition of Talking Tribal with Shannon and George and Chrissy is up on Channel 10. Maybe some other stuff to come as well, but right now, I got some jurors to talk to. So, without further ado, let's get to my interviews with Eileen and Valeria. All right, everybody, it is my distinct honor to be the one to officially welcome this Survivor superfan to Rob Has a Podcast, the first member of this jury, Eileen Chong.
Awesome. Well, it's a pleasure meeting you, Mike.
Oh, my God. The pleasure is all mine. I mean, listen, I wish we were talking in like 2 weeks' time when you were crowned the
Queen
of Titans versus Rebels, but regardless.
My story was cut short, but I still feel like I had a great run, and I'm so proud and so thankful that all the super fans have been backing me up, and I feel all the love because, you know, I was on the other side just last year. I am still a super fan, and just to feel all the love and support just means the world to me.
Well, you talk about your story getting cut short. Let's retell it, shall we? And I want to start at the end here, because I will admit I was a little surprised watching your reaction to what looked to us to be a blind side, where it seemed like you just threw your hands in the air and just said, yeah, first member of the jury. And there was almost this celebration aspect to it. I'm so intrigued. How are your feelings manifesting in that moment? And were you surprised you were the one to go here?
100%. Well, I have to give my hats off, because if you want a classic example of how to blindside someone, that's it. Because I had no idea it was coming. I even left some of my clothes back at camp because I was feeling really comfortable. And during the scramble, look, I'm not going to lie, I put my hand up to make the coconut rice, and it was a damn good coconut rice. So I fed everyone really well. But yeah, I had no idea it was coming. But to be honest, when the first vote of my name came out, I knew instantly it would be me going home, because my name had never come out before. And I know once you try and target me, you have to land it, right? But all I could think of, I was just smiling the whole time. You could see I was just so happy to have made the jury and to be, you know, seen as that sort of threat. And to be the mayor of the jury, you know, it's a really big pleasure and advantage.
So this will ultimately be the last time for you, but certainly not the first time that you and Ferris and some of the other rebels are whispering to each other at Tribal Council, being like, okay, we're trying to read everyone, something's up. So what was your take on that particular Tribal Council, especially looking back? Were you trying to clock in the moment as to whether or not Kirby had indeed flipped something? And how much in the moment were you thinking that was a legitimate thing?
Honestly, in that moment, I personally wasn't worried for some reason. I was trying to suss out why Ferris was being sus. And I was like, oh, maybe do I need to observe a little more and maybe talk to Alex to play his idol for me? Because previously, Alex did mention, look, for any of the four of us, he would be very happy to play his idol, and Ferris as well. But I couldn't pick it up. And I think I was sitting right in the middle, and everyone was just chatting, and they were really good at keeping it a secret. So it was a very big blindside on their part. So kudos to them.
Of course, we got to talk about Ferris. I mean, he's arguably the reason why you're speaking with me today, because of this idea that we've got to get rid of this conduit, this wedge to Ferris. To start, talk to me about your relationship in general, because from our perspective, it did not seem to necessarily start with you two being on the closest terms. Kirby will bring up later on, oh so eloquently, that you ended up sitting with him at a certain point on the first iteration of the Rebels, but he sort of verbalized in this past episode how well the two of you work together. Can you speak a little bit to that?
100%. So Ferris and I's relationship probably started around day two on the Rebels camp. I just remember the cuddle crew would be taking up like a lot of space in the shelter. And then there would be myself, Ferris and Raymond and a couple of others, including Garrick. We would sit at the beach and talk under the stars. And the cuddle crew had no idea that we were talking strategy. And at that point, Ferris, Raymond and I remember a clear conversation where the three of us were like, look, we are the misfits here. Why don't we work together? And we talked a little bit about strategy and a bit of our fandom of the game. And at that point, I knew that those three, plus Garrick, would also be my core alliance moving forward. And Ferris and I connected as well because we come from Asian backgrounds and we talk a little bit about our upbringing and our culture. So that really solidified that relationship for me moving forward.
So on that note, I actually just watched your Jury Villa, which first off, I love how you carry, again, this sort of infectious energy that you had leaving the game into the jury. But something that did surprise me, though, is that you had mentioned your views on Kirby and how you would want to get rid of her eventually. You also mentioned that Ferris was somebody that you were trying to get rid of at some point down the line.
Yeah.
So it seemed like, as tight as the two of you were, he was not necessarily someone in your final three plans.
Well, here's the thing. So I have watched thousands of episodes of Survivor, and you know that at some point you got to cut off the head of the snake. And I didn't want to be perceived as that overt leader, rather discreet. And I think I did that really well. And eventually, look, if you're going to win a $500,000, you got to get out the person who's going to be competing with you. And since we had played such a similar game, at the end, I was going to do that. And funnily enough, at the very beginning, I recognized that Kirby and Ferris were both these big threats. And so I decided I was going to use those two as my shields to propel me further into the game. And also, I remember after the PETA vote and the Tobias vote, Kirby thought that I was still working with her because we had those two votes that we did together. And it's not like I turned on her yet, but I remember her walking past me, and her words was, Ferris next. And I was like, oh my god, I can't let this happen, because I have pledged my alliance allegiance with them. But I was like, look, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pit these two up against each other so they become the targets and I am out of the firing line. So I went straight to Ferris and I told Ferris, Kirby's out to get you next. And I think that plus a other series of events started that war, and I was very happy to sit back and let that happen.
So let's say that these two generals do end up getting taken out before the war is done. I'm sure as tumultuous as this season has been so far for all of you, this was the jury phase, so you were probably sizing up some people that you would want to ideally sit next to in the end. So at the point you were voted out, who was in your ideal final three if you had something mapped out?
Well, I would probably say someone along the lines of Raymond, because at that point, people sort of thought that he was just coasting along and being very loyal to Ferris mostly. So look, I would have loved to also gone against someone who was just as strategic as myself. But once you get down to the final numbers, you want to increase your odds of winning. And, you know, that's taking someone who's perhaps seen more as like a goat or someone who hasn't made as big of moves as yourself.
Yeah, let's talk about Raymond a bit, because again, our perception is that it really seemed like the three of you, Ferris and Raymond, but that we never saw a lot of the two of you interacting, that Ferris was kind of in the middle of that. And I'm glad that you ended up bringing up on social media a couple of weeks ago that things were okay between the two of you after some, let's say, interesting comments about how you won't have much of a future after the game. So talk to me about your dynamic a bit.
Well, I'm very, very happy to address that. And I love Raymond to bits. You know, at the very beginning, I had to take a sort of step back because a lot of these bigger personalities were kind of trying to overpower everyone else. And so I decided to take a step back and observe the tribe. And I was kind of weaving palm fronds by myself. And Raymond, sweet Raymond, came up to me and he was like, Eileen, you're isolating yourself. Like, come join us. I was like, this is on purpose, guys. I'm trying to figure out who's working with who. And then we just had such a good bond. But the issue was Raymond, I didn't really understand his strategy. So what's not shown is him and I would have one-on-one chats, a couple of them. And at one point, my alliance also was concerned that I wasn't with them because I was playing that double agent role so well, even though I was definitely trying to get the information for our side. You know, I was always with Ferris, Raymond, and Garrick. But I tried to explain to Raymond my position and he was like, I believe you. And I was like, okay, great. Can you like vouch for me then? And he was like, I don't think I can do that. And I was like, what are you talking about, Raymond? You are supposed to be in my alliance. How can you not tell Garrick and Ferris that I'm with them? And there was just multiple instances. And there was another instance where Raymond was like, Eileen, if you want to do a big move, for example, if you want to take out Ferris, do it, don't tell me, and just do it. And I was like, I don't understand where this is coming from, because in order for me to make a big move, I would need numbers. I would need you. And why do you not want to be included? And do you not want to take the blame for anything? So I was just really confused. But all in all, he's a very loyal player, and I knew that he wasn't going to budge. So love the guy to be. Oh, and also, the reason why he made that comment earlier was because I hadn't revealed to anyone the entire time I was playing the game that I actually, my full-time job is working as an operations manager for an investment fund. I didn't want people to think I was that smart. And all I said was I was this happy-go-lucky waitress, just happy to be living out my dream. So I think Raymond made that comment in relation to that. Not that, you know, people in hospitality, they can definitely achieve success and all of that. But I think he just thought I was just there to play the game and that's it.
Let's talk about another rebel. You mentioned her before. The other reason why you're talking with me today, Kirby, because she was front of mind for you. In Jury Villa, you said that basically you were going to try to take a shot at her at the next opportunity. So talk to me about the dynamic that you had. I mean, even going back to those days on Rebels 1.0 Beach, she sort of had you a little dead to rights when she realized that you were on Ferris's side.
Absolutely. So I love Kirby, and the show doesn't credit her enough for her endearing personality. And the way she pulled people in was to talk about her upbringing and her culture. And I was very fascinated by that. And that's a really good way to pull people in without actually even talking about strategy yet. And I think that's what she did really well. So her and I, at the very beginning, we exchanged very few words, but we both understood that we were strong women who were very strategic. And I think she saw me as someone she could work with. The only problem was, I think she assumed that I would be in an alliance with her, Scott, and Ree from the get-go. What she didn't realize was my conversations with Ferris and Raymond on like day two, where I solidified that alliance first. And so after we had voted together with the PETA vote and Tobias Alex vote, she automatically assumed I was with her. And then I had to break the news. You know, when Kelly was sent over to the Titans, we were actually going to vote out Rihanna first. And I felt like after that kind of tension, I had to clear the air with her and say, look, I was actually going to vote with Rihanna because I was, you guys assumed that I was with you guys, but you never actually asked me to be in an alliance with you. And I would, I rather have told her first before somebody else tell her. And honestly, I thought we were good. I thought that we would have cleared the air. And I still told her, look, a tribe swap is probably coming soon. We might still need to work together. So let's keep this dialogue open. But I think for Kirby, in her mind, once you betray her once, she said she looks at you in at a different way. And so I think she felt that betrayal and was like targeting me ever since.
So talking about that swap, I mean, listen, I'm sad that we're talking here instead of 2 weeks from now, but the fact of the matter is, we also could have been talking 2 weeks ago. Let's talk about that round where it seemed like you were dead to rights until this big twist is thrown in, a tribal council that gives you and Ferris the majority to vote off Charles. I would love to hear your feelings during what must have been such an up and down round in a very up and down game.
Mike, let me tell you, Survivor is a roller coaster. And to be honest, I wouldn't have wanted it any other way because you've seen the experience that people go through while you're watching on the couch. And I feel like I did exactly that. You know, I was on a high. I felt like I was absolutely killing it at the Rebels and at the Titans when Garrett got voted out. I felt paranoia, anxiety. I was so scared. I tried to do everything I could to scrap from the bottom. But that's how a good survivor player is made. You know, when your back is up against the wall and you're able to pull the win a couple of times to save yourself. I think, honestly, I didn't know I had that sort of endurance in that like triangle challenge. So it was a great moment for me and a personal like realization in my life that I can really endure things when my back is up against the wall. So I was very proud for that.
Yeah. And I had seen a bit of discussion between you and Ferris on social media the night of that vote. What were the discussions like between the two of you once you both end up winning that challenge that led to you ultimately deciding Charles was going to be the one to go?
So I'm definitely 100% giving the credit to Ferris for pitching the split vote idea. I preferred for Charles to go home because there's not much shown about it. But basically, when we were at the spelling bee challenge and Charles and I were sitting at the sit out bench, I was trying to pitch to Charles in front of Kirby, like she could hear. I was like, Charles, like open to working with you, XYZ. By the way, does your alliance and the Titans have like any idols or advantages that I need to know about? And I think he took that the wrong way. I think he thought I was just fishing for information and not giving anything back. So he played defensive and was really good at interrogating me as a badass lawyer he is on that bench. I got overwhelmed and startled and flustered. I was like, oh, damn, well, if this smart, logical guy isn't going to work with me, because I want to play with logical people, if he's going to work against me, then I need to get him out because then he's my biggest threat in this game. And so then again, when we were at that tribal council and he was having a go at me, I was like, this guy needs to go. Okay. but it was good that we split the votes. And ultimately, I did want Charles out. And yeah.
Well, I want to go back to what was really your coming out party in terms of the edit back during this Tobias vote where you mastermind. I mean, talk about spelling. A is for Alex. B is for Blindside.
Well, A is for Eileen. And B is for Eileen.
Yeah, the alphabet comes back around for you.
But
I'm curious about this because I do think in the moment, a lot of people were thinking, well, this is fun from an entertainment perspective, making Sarah have to decide between her two tightest allies. But on the other hand, it did open up the door for someone like Kelly to swap her vote and really make the whole thing go pear-shaped. So talk to me about this sort of premier Eileen plan, the first of many we got in this game.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Well, look, at the point where we blindsided PETA, Sarah felt really left out and she didn't like being in the minority and not having a choice. So, you know, we still couldn't have told her about the plan beforehand because there was a chance that she would tell Tobias and Alex. And if either of them or both of them had an idol, that our plans would be screwed. So I was like, look, let's do 4-4, 4-Alex, 4-Tobias. Then at the revote, Sarah would be the deciding vote because none of us would have theoretically budged. And Sarah would have actually really appreciated that. She would have been like, oh my God, and we were trying to pitch it to her as like, we're giving you this choice. You know, you want to be involved. You can pick who you want to send home, even though it was like low-key savage and I was laughing in my head. But she probably would have picked Alex to go, but any of them would have been fine. And then that way she would have stuck with us. But, you know, even after that vote, I feel like I was still able to pull Sarah to our side. And with the Rihanna vote, I'm 100% sure we would have sent her. When Kelly was sent to the Titans, I'm 100% sure had that twist not happened, Rihanna would have gone home because I pitched to Sarah. I pulled her aside one-on-one and I was like, Sarah, look around. Who are the power couples in this tribe? Alex and PETA, who went home? PETA. You and Tobias, who went home? Tobias. I was like, look around. Who's the next power couple? Obviously, I said it was Kirby and Rhee. I was like, if you go with them, we're going to take out Rhee. You're going to be in the minority once again. You're going to be left out. Why don't you come join me with the boys, Garrick, Ferris, Alex, and Ray? We're going to be the two leading women discreetly. Those boys are going to start attacking each other, and we're going to make it really far. And she ate that up.
So throughout your time during this interview on the show, you've mentioned how big a fan you are of Survivor. And you talk about an up and down experience. I mean, that is sort of reflected in your edit, because you start super quiet and then you have these big plans and big moments that make you pop, and then you go quiet again, and then you're in danger and you have to win your way back in. Even in this episode, you get the big boot, you get the blind side, and you don't get any confessionals. I would love to get your own perspective, to go from someone who has been such a devotee to the game to becoming a player and now watching your journey back reflected through that edit and watching it all unfold in front of you.
Well, first of all, I just have to say that as a super fan who made it on the show, all you can feel really, whether your experience was positive or negative, which mine was positive, obviously, mm-hmm. is just gratitude, because I feel like in Australian Survivor, it's not common to see a diehard super fan get a chance to play the game. And I feel like I got that chance and I was able to prove to everyone why someone who has studied the game basically all her life was able to actually pull off these big moves and take risks and make an impact on the game. So I just am reflecting on it, being super grateful, and felt like my story in a way was told, and I'm very satisfied with the way it went.
That is great. And I think I'm putting it mildly when I say that a good amount of the fandom was satisfied from your presence on the show as well. I mean, you talk about wanting to present yourself as somebody who was just there for a good time, wanting to make their dream come true. And look, there were some ideally less stressful circumstances that you could have been under at certain points, but the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, you weren't too far from that person you were trying to present, down to you having the biggest smile on your face as you went out blindsided, almost like a Survivor bucket list item for you. I think it really is just representative of whether it was a plan, a challenge, an experience. You took every part of this by the horns, and it was so great to watch you do so. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk A through Z through your entire game with me, Eileen.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. And I just wanted to tell all the super fans out there, you know, it is possible. I literally auditioned and went through the whole thing. And I want all other super fans to have hope and know that your dream can come true as well. And I hope that I was able to represent you guys as much and as best as possible.
I personally think so, but if anyone disagrees, and they have the right to do so, but much like that infamous Charles Tribal Council, I think the only vote that counts from this perspective should be your own. So thank you so much, as always, for taking the time to talk with me, Eileen. I cannot wait to hear from you more in the future, and all the best to you and yours. Thanks so much again.
Thanks. Lots of love, Mike. Mwah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All right. I am currently speaking with, some would say, the ultimate guest, because she's here via the ultimate vote. Valeria, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking.
That's great. Well, suffice it to say, we have a lot to get into. And I suppose if you have to go out as Survivor, there are certainly a lot less exciting ways than getting voted out with one vote to your name.
100%, to be honest, if you would ask me the way I would be voted out, if that would be the only way, this is the best way.
Well, I actually want to start with that, because suffice it to say, I don't think anybody who got voted out due to one vote against them in a twist where they had the sole power to get rid of somebody, I don't think many Survivor players would react the way that you did, which was, at least to us, fairly light. You were giving hugs all around, you were making jokes to Raymond, to JLP. I'm really intrigued, what was going through your head in that moment, and was there any sort of shock that caught up with you once you hit Jury Villa and the reality started to hit you?
To be honest, I enjoy the competition. I enjoy healthy competition. So when that happened to me, I took it as I would in any other circumstances. I mean, it was a crazy way to get out, but it's a part of the game. So I was kind of mentally preparing myself that in case I'm going to be getting out, you know, I won't be that person that was like, that was you. Ugh. You know, I was really kind of applying a competitive game. So I knew what I was signing up for. It definitely, after that happened, I kind of, you know, came to a realization that, you know what, my gut feeling was right. That's one thing that's positive. You know, we're feeling it. I did came in into the tribal council feeling weird. I just felt something was going on, but I couldn't explain what it was. But as now I know, if you have something in you telling you to do something, don't listen to anyone, just go ahead and do it. But at the end of the day, I'm reliving this moment a few times in my head, and I realized I don't think I would go ahead with the plan, because I was genuinely concerned for Raymond and just the way he was doing, you know, because if Raymond would be the first one that I witnessed, you know, wanting to go home, I probably try to kind of figure it out because, you know, mate, it's a game. Let's just, you know, let's push it. Let's do it. At the same time, we just had Scotty leaving for that same reason where he shared to everyone, you know, he's got mental struggles, gone into this game even, you know, deeper. It might affect him inevitably. So I was like, is it really worth the welfare of someone else? Because maybe because of Scotty, Raymond felt like it was the right thing to do and be open and, you know, come clean and saying, guys, I am not feeling good. Please just get me out of it. And I was like, okay, makes sense. They won't let him go as a Scotty because, you know, this guy has to, you know, get some votes and then that would be the way to go. So very new for me, very fragile kind of moment to see what I would do if, you know, if I would go back in the game. So I felt like what I did was probably the most appropriate way I would feel good about myself as a human being.
I want to tap into what you were just talking about there, because like you said, you had just experienced the situation where clearly someone was not in a good headspace and asked to leave the game. So it really did seem like pats on the back to Raymond at the Jury Villa. You really seemed to commend him for a big move. Was there part of you that was feeling a certain way about it, though? Because on the one hand, you could also argue like, wow, Raymond kind of preyed on some of that, surprisingly so, to get what he wanted.
Yes, it's a very good feeling. Like my Slavic background, with the way we do things, like if you have a bad time or if you, you know, you're not happy with something, just go, let it go. And, you know, don't get everyone else involved in your game and don't destroy for anyone else. So I was definitely thinking about the game plan. I was like, man, you know, Scotty threw me under the bus. This is the time for me to do something. And I'm sure someone like Kirby will definitely use it to their advantage. So, you know, I was definitely thinking someone else thinking what I was thinking. Mm. At the same time, it was just, I feel like I was battling my own thoughts. I was like, morality over the game plan. I was like, oh God, already screwed once with a similar situation. Do I follow the same path or show a bit of a grace in my personality and just let it go and let the guy, you know, die outside of this experience into ways where he can find back himself, you know, go down all the way deep down and come back as a stronger person. So I was just battling it all the time. I was like, it's very hard to say if I would do it any other way. It was just very weak feeling that I had. And obviously going to Mark, I was trying to look for kind of reassurance or someone to just speak back to me, because I had all these thoughts and I was like, I just need to speak to someone to say if I'm saying something which is way too brutal or if I'm saying something that is legitimately should be considered. And when Mark said, listen, that's not going to look good for jury, Vila, it's just not the nicest way to do it, this is just way too brutal, I was like, you know what, I agree. Someone has to tell me, like, I'm getting sometimes way too competitive. I just want to do it. I just want to handle it. And I feel like if it would be Kirby or Ferris going through the struggle, I feel like I would shoot them back. I feel like because they're mentally very powerful people. And I feel like they could get themselves out of this moment more than I would think about Raymond, because Raymond was a very quiet guy throughout an entire game. He would hardly say anything. You could hardly see him. And that's how he was in the camp. So I was thinking, you know, if it would be someone else, maybe I would, you know, go back into the fight and see what I can do. But with this guy, I was just wasn't, you know, certain if that my move would actually, you know, destroy this guy like it did destroy Scotty, that left him, you know, just going home.
Right. Well, I want to get into some of these relationships. Let's start with the man you mentioned in Mark, because in a game where everyone basically voted with everybody, you two really stuck together since the beginning through the end of your game. Talk to me about how the two of you were working together.
Well, obviously, when we met first, I was actually making a few jokes before even going to Survivor. And I was like, you know what? The best person that could win this game, I must have been like a diplomat or something. And I was like, surely we won't have a diplomat on the show. And then I'm going in, and then it's Mark, and he was like, hi, I'm a diplomat. I was like, okay, well, you know, it's a bit of competition here. What are we going to do with that? And for me, I already just had a lot of so much respect for him, for his profession and what he does. And I was like, surely this guy is smart and you need the smart players on your side. Plus, you know, I wasn't a Survivor fan and I only watched 2.5 seasons before flying into Samoa 2 weeks prior to the game. So I was like, I need someone with the knowledge. I need someone to, you know, give me all the different plans and options, you know, and just, you know, have that brainstorming experience when it comes to game and votes and potential ways of how we can play the game. So having him in a game was very a good benefit to just understand the game better. At the same time, I know in my life, if I feel someone is a good person, the values are there and they're really not going to let you down. I know that from core, and I know I can feel it. So with Mark, I had the feeling straight away that this guy not going to throw me and won't backstab me. And same with Viola. So I felt like it was a genuine feeling of knowing this is the person with the values that I want to stick by. And also there is brains there. So it's a massive benefit for my game to have someone with so much knowledge into the game to help me going further in it.
So to that point, I mean, you have expressed that you are loyal to the soil. We heard the story about you and the wolf. You know, you protect your people. I'm curious, because you came into this episode with like a pretty solid alliance of yourself and Caroline and Mark and Alex. Let's say you survive that vote. Raymond gets voted out here. What were you eyeballing for the end game? Would you have wanted to go to the end with those people you had been voting with the past couple times, or were you looking at other people?
I would definitely would want to bring my people to the very end. And I'm the type of person who is not scared to stay by someone if it comes to top two, doing my pitch and see who's going to get it. I said, I love the competition. I respect the players. And I would love to have my person next to me to play the game to the end. And I didn't have a feeling that I would need to bring someone from the other side. I was really very close to my people, and I really was hoping that we can get it all together to the end, which is, you know, perfect case scenario that never happens.
Yeah, well, one person I want to talk about that was very new to your side, but what I was interested by was in your jury villa, you're like, well, I feel really bad for Mark and Alex that I'm not there. And I'm like, Alex, the guy that you called out two tribal councils ago, of we're going to vote for this physical asset with an idol. It turned out to be such a close relationship by the time that you left. He plays his idol on you. Talk to me about how that ended up developing, because that took me as such a surprise.
It was a shocking experience for me as well, because it's crazy how actually that tribal council, which wasn't shown, we were like asked a lot of questions and they just didn't make it to the edit. But my whole speech was like, you can't trust people, you know, with 11 days. This is just a no-go. At least it's not a chance with me. I am not flexible. I might be going home because of this, but don't even get me there. And Alex was like, Val, what if I take you to the spa? I was like, okay, wait. The spa's nice. Like, we were just making jokes back and forth. And then the night before, where I was trying to flash his idol as well, you know, I didn't know I'm going to use it next time. And just everything was so surreal. I was like, man, you just can't script this. Like, this all happening live. And then also, you know, if you remember, Alex also put my name down in a couple of tribal councils before, which he apologized for. But, you know, it still hurts deep inside. So I wasn't, you know, letting my guards down. I was like, man, you put my name down. You know, you were a big physical threat. You got the idol. I mean, I don't think we can work together. But Alex was very smooth of how he pushed himself as a character, as a player. And I felt like he genuinely wanted to be a part of our team. He just was trying to find a way. The fact that he did play the idol, like, I feel like this is the ultimate way to show that you are ready to commit to relationship, whether they're new or old. But that's like the perfect, because there are people that, for example, playing the whole game and it was like, yes, we commit to each other. But at the end of the day, they won't play the idol, you know, like someone. But at the end of the day, Alex just was incredible. And when I saw he put his idol out then, I was like, man, you are a legend. And obviously after, I hugged him after the tribal council. I was like, mate, I will do my absolute best to protect you and watch out for your name.
So speaking of other not so good relationships that did turn good in the end, I got to talk about you and Caroline. Specifically through the merge. I mean, let's start where obviously you have been waiting for revenge for some time on Viola. Talk to me about how you approach Caroline there, and especially, you know, you make these comments at Tribal Council, how she's the weakest link, she doesn't deserve to be there. You explain it a little bit at the barbecue, but I would love to give you another chance just to sort of explain your perspective in those comments.
Yes, definitely. I feel like with Caroline, I just didn't get enough edit to kind of explain my point. I feel like it wasn't just about Viola, but it was just the overall aura, you know, with the races and all the things, you know, like they all come together and then you have that perspective on the person that it was like, okay, I don't want that person in the game. I want them out first. And then it was just like overall feeling that I believe that person should have gone. And obviously I felt personally attacked of having Viola out of the game. I was like, man, this girl had so much potential and so much drive to play this game. And I just felt bad as a player to another player that she didn't have a chance to shine and, you know, put all the efforts in. With Caroline, it was, you know, they used a couple of my interviews several times in a row. So it looks like I am 100% on because of Viola, I'm going to vote you out. It wasn't like this. It was a few little factors. And I said, it was definitely personal when it comes to Viola, because I felt like she had a chance. Also, what wasn't shown, we had a slight, like, it was like a 3 minutes conversation when we voted out Nathan, where Caroline Kitty proposed to turn back on Mark and Eden and then do a Lady Boss alliance. So with that kind of thought in my head, I was like, these two girls wanting us in our plan, but they want to betray their own people, the mafia people already. So, and that was only like at the very beginning of the journey. So it just gave me a very bad feeling towards playing with someone who is so easily can turn against you right at the beginning of the game when you're just building up those relationships. Like, I feel like it's too early to do this risk. So I just felt uncomfortable knowing that could happen. And I feel like because we all are trying to kind of scream out on the other side, I was like, boys, you're in trouble. I feel like she got that hit because Caroline Kitty realized that something is going on. I feel like this girl is going to tell our plan and this boss lady alliance is, you know, not going to happen. So that was a little part that wasn't shown. And I feel like from that point, I started to develop that feeling. And I was like, the girl was just trying to tell the truth to the boys and it's just backfired her in the worst kind of the most tragic way that it could go.
So after you have this barbecue, I mean, you do end up apologizing. But I think a lot of us were still like, I don't know if these two can work together. You do end up working together through the rest of your time in the game. Talk to me about how your relationship kind of ended up moving on from that one moment where you do make, you know, these big, bold comments about her not deserving to be there.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I spoke to Caroline openly. I explained how I felt. I explained that little situation that happened between us, what happened with Viola, and, you know, just the energy I kind of had. So I was very open with my feedback. At the same time, Caroline, the way she felt about the whole situation just took it way too personal. And it hurt her much deeper than it is. And she was telling me, I think it was also in the camera, that it was the worst thing she ever heard in her entire life.
Right.
I only knew that it would affect someone mentally and emotionally the way it affected her. And she told me she was crying for several times since that moment, you know, because she was like, I was worried my kid's going to hear this and everyone else going to watch it. And it was just like the worst thing I could ever hear about myself that really kind of hurt me. And I never wanted to get to that point. I never wanted anyone to feel that way. I didn't want them to make them feel down about themselves as a person. I was just, you know, I do get a bit confrontational and I do like to throw people, kind of shake them off their balance, off their feet, and see how they react, because I'm fine to come back in the camp and watch them see what's going on. But I didn't know it's going to go in that nasty mode for her, that she would actually feel bad about her entire personality. So I truly sorry for this back in the time and still now, because that's not what I meant. You know, I like to throw some big words. I like to shake things up. But that was a bit too much, because I realized that someone like Caroline couldn't kind of, you know, hit back with me with something. Like, it's like attacking, I don't know, a snake attacking a rabbit. Like, you need to have, like, probably if I go back to Ferris, he would probably shoot something back at me. And then you could kind of equal chat, you know, words by words. And it would be like an interesting battle, because you probably would handle it better and you probably wouldn't care as much of what I think. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're strangers. But with Caroline, it took a little bit of an emotional turn. And that's why I apologize for it. It kind of taught me a lesson that maybe I shouldn't say everything that I'm thinking, you know. Maybe at the end of the day, the lesson is I shouldn't burn too many bridges. I can burn a little bit. I can put a bit of a spark. It burns a little bit, but don't burn the base of it, because that can definitely backfire her. But thanks God, Caroline is a better person. And, you know, me apologizing, we kind of sorted it out within ourselves. And that definitely helped us to rebuild this connection and play together in the next votes and, you know, come together stronger as a little alliance.
Yeah. So on that note, last thing I want to ask is, you definitely were one of the most like open people at Tribal Council, not only this season, but I've seen in some time. I mean, you mentioned Ferris. There's at one point in that Charles Tribal Council when you're saying you're a terrible leader. You shut Eileen down like a dog. And it's tough because as you know, entertaining as those remarks can be, this is a game with people. And as you saw with Caroline, there was a chance that people could take it the wrong way. And if you were to make it to the end, it could spell disaster for you. So talk to me about that approach. And did you have that in mind at a certain point of like, all right, listen, I love speaking my mind, but other people might not?
Yes, I guess it's always a tricky situation when it comes to being so open. I mean, I was born in a culture where it's encouraged to speak up your mind. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say what you think. Coming to Australia, it's not okay sometimes to say things like this, because you need to see the other person's perspective and how it will backfire you, and also the overall look. You know, when it comes to my staff and people, I don't behave the same way. But from the entertainment perspective, I guess I wanted to put something out there. And with Ferris, I did have my point. I did believe Arlene had a bigger chance to play a better game if she would be on her own with someone else. But because Ferris' personality is so big, it kind of undermined her game to leading, because she's a super fan and she's incredible. She's super smart. And I just had so much respect for her as a player. And I'm just watching that she's kind of under emotional pressure of not performing as good as I think she could. So I took it more personal towards Eileen. I was like, you girl can do so much better. Get out there and, you know, play your game hard. So I kind of said my piece with that. So the owner said that I didn't really regret what I was saying to Veras, because I did feel like in the camp, everything that happened behind the scenes kind of, you know, build me up to say what I'm thinking. Where with Caroline, I do regret to say that harsh words towards her, because I said it wasn't handled the right way.
Well, listen, as a fan, as a watcher of the show, we love the openness. And from the very get-go, when you're sitting there with your sopping wet furry jacket in the middle of Samoa, we knew that you were about to bring some entertainment. And you certainly did, from everything going on with the original version of the Titans to then experiencing the long, deep-seated Viola's revenge, to then making up with the people that you were trying to get revenge against. I mean, it was a roller coaster of a season, and to have you on that card giving commentary the whole time was so appreciated. So thank you for being so open, not only throughout the season, but for me today, talking about a very eventful game.
Thank you so much for all your kind words. It was all pleasure of mine to speak to you today and say my piece to the fans and to everyone who's listening.
Of course, the pleasure is all mine. Well, I cannot wait. I'm sure the fits on the jury bench are going to be nothing but immaculate moving forward for you. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with you next, Valeria. Thanks so much again, and all the best to you and yours.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
And there we go. My interviews with Eileen and Valeria. Really enjoyed both of them, both, of course, watching them on screen and getting the chance to talk with them. Eileen getting the opportunity to bring to light some parts of her game that maybe did not necessarily pop in the edit due to how quiet she was shown at times. And I'm glad we got some clarifications from Valeria as to what she meant by her words, in particular to Caroline, and how they were able to negotiate that relationship from there. Interestingly enough, both people I talked to, I feel like at the time they were voted out, they found that they truly had a semi-solid group to stick to in, as was mentioned, a very fluid game. And the moment where they thought that the ground was finally under their feet, that's when they fell. Just goes to show, again, how wildly chaotic and amazing this post-merge in particular has been. And the podcast will be as well. Again, next time you're going to be hearing podcasts on this feed will be from Shannon herself talking with Kelly Wentworth, and then we'll do it all again with week 7. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to Eileen and for Valeria for offering their time and their words to me. Thank you to the entire RHAP team behind the scenes for putting these podcasts together. And we'll keep chatting Titans and Rebels when Shannon returns with Kelly Wentworth. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
20 middle.
Swimmers.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shkeli.
1 million rubli.
Tribes both. Tribes
spoke. The
tribe
spoke.
The adventure
of a lifetime.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.